Welcome to the Microsoft IT Pro Podcast, a show about Office 365, Azure, and the IT Pro and end user side of life. Each week, we'll discuss a different topic or recent news related to Office 365 and Azure and how it relates to you as an IT Pro. The MS IT Pro Podcast is never longer than 30 minutes, so let's get started. Here we are again, Scott, for another podcast episode.
Here we are, the big 2-0.
Yeah, I can't believe it's 20 already. What, 52 weeks in a year, 30? We still got a few more to go, 26 till we're halfway, hit the 6-month mark, but it's been fun. Like you said, I can't believe we've already hit 20.
Yeah, no, this is, it's all good. And you only have 20 more gray hairs, right, from just talking to me once a week?
Either that or it's trying to get the audio to work, get that whole conference call stuff, all that type of stuff to work. That might be giving me the gray hairs too, which kind of ties into our topic today.
It does a little bit. So today we're going to talk a little bit about, pretty much all about Skype for Business.
All right. We're going to cover just the online portion of it, right? We don't have any plans to jump into the on-prem?
Correct. So let's avoid on-prem. Let's avoid hybrid because there's some weird things that come with that. And let's talk about the niceties of Skype for Business Online and what people, both kind of on the end user side and on the deployment side, operational controls, all that, everybody can get out of it.
All right. Sounds like a good plan. I mean, we are talking about the cloud after all. So who wants to talk about on-prem stuff anymore anyways? So where do you want to start?
Let's see. Why don't we start with kind of just the generic, what is Skype for Business, what it's doing, kind of how it's going out there. So from my side, you know, I see Skype for Business really filling, if you deploy it fully, some of the unified communication space, right? It's going to do everything from your instant messaging. So both at potentially an enterprise and a consumer level and allowing you to chat with everybody all over the place. It has some basic features, so screen sharing, meeting recording, things like that. Out of the box, I can also make internet calls. So effectively VoIP, but I don't have a phone number assigned to my SIP address or anything like that. I also have capabilities to do things like PSTN calling and have a phone number assigned to me, auto attendant, call queuing, all that kind of good stuff. So I think if we can kind of touch on all those areas, that'll give everybody a pretty solid overview.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. So do you want to just start with some of the basic setting it up for users? What can you configure for users? What can you set up for users? How do you get one of your users going with Skype for Business?
Sure. So, I mean, at the highest level, it's entitling your users to the service. So typically, you're going to have an entitlement within one of your SKU packs, and you're going to go ahead and say, hey, I'm going to give Ben Skype for Business. And then hopefully, I've also given Ben some other things. Maybe, you know, we did like an E3 or an E5, and you have access to something like Microsoft Office on your desktop, or you have access to Office apps on a mobile device, things like that. So now that you have an entitlement and we've installed some software for you, you can pretty much get up and running at that point. You're just going to go ahead and sign into that client. It's going to know who you are, and you're going to start populating it with contacts, be able to search through your directory, add contacts, group them, things like that, and start doing kind of those basics of chatting, screen sharing, and really kind of the out-of-the-box features and functions. And then potentially, if your organization has deployed some more advanced features or has the capabilities for it, your admin might go in and configure you for things like audio conferencing. So, you know, to be able to have access to an audio conferencing provider and associate a phone number with your meeting requests. Or maybe they said, hey, we do PSTN calling, so you're going to get a physical phone number, and that's going to be associated with your Skype account. And now you've got a SIP address and a phone number that all tie together and play nice.
Yeah, one of the things I like best, or one nice thing about Skype for Business, is I feel like when you compare it to some of the other services, there's a lot less that, I'm not going to say there's a lot less when it comes to the configuration, but a lot less you really have to think about other than bandwidth to just at least get up and running on it. Like you said, once you assign that license to them and they sign in, bandwidth is probably the biggest thing you want to think about. But other than that, in terms of, I mean, SharePoint, you got to always figure out sites organization, taxonomy, Exchange. Obviously, there's a lot there. Skype for Business, it's just kind of assign it and get up and going. And from there, you can start doing some of those configuration tweaks if you need to.
Yeah, I think we talked a little bit about Skype bandwidth when we talked about Microsoft Teams. So if you are walking down that path, you should absolutely take that into consideration. So you should know what your network can support, you know, whether you're doing like an express route, MPLS kind of thing, or you're going across the internet. You'll have to understand a bit about user behavior and hopefully you have some telemetry and understand that. There are some bandwidth calculators and things for Skype for Business. All of them, every single one I've ever seen that comes from Microsoft is pretty much an Excel spreadsheet that just comes out and kind of spits things back at you. So one of the better calculators, they've updated that one for Teams. So it's fully online. It's just on a website now. And that one's a little bit easier to use. And it goes a little bit over the top with some of the Skype calculations, but really it gives you a sense of let's plan for the worst and expect the best kind of thing. So I'd recommend folks go that way if they do go down that path of bandwidth calculations and all that good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you do find that your bandwidth maybe isn't up to par for doing the full audio HD video experience for Skype for Business, or maybe you don't necessarily even want people to be able to do some of the audio and video stuff, you just want it for the instant messaging, the chatting, one nice configuration option you do have is you can go in even on a per user basis and set what they're allowed to do. So maybe you have some users that are remote that don't have great bandwidth and you want to limit them. Within Skype for Business, you have those options to actually set none for the whole audio video experience within Skype for Business, or you can set it so it's just audio. You can set it so it's audio and video, or you can set it so it's audio and HD video. So they do give you some controls too, based on how much bandwidth you want to allow Skype for Business to consume, to set your users accordingly. So you get a little bit better experience if you have some lower bandwidth.
Yeah, and you can also get creative with that. So those settings are all available through the kind of online administrative interface. And there's also a PowerShell module available for Skype for Business. So you have a bunch of options to go in and kind of configure that to your heart's desire and potentially automate it and make it a little bit more robust and kind of have some rigor around the way you deploy as you onboard new users.
Yeah, definitely. So here's one of my favorite features. Again, I'm a consultant. I work with a bunch of different clients. Some of them are on Office 365. Some of them are still on-prem. But external communications in Skype for Business, being able to federate with users that are in other organizations, other companies, I use this one a ton.
Yeah, it's it's one of those interesting turnkey kind of features, right? You know, even in enterprises, I think it's really valuable. So we use this a ton within mine as well. You know, I think federation is a scary term, right? We talk about identity and now you start thinking about certificate exchanges and all those things. This federation is literally just go click a button and say, I want my users to be able to chat with either any other Skype for Business tenant, whether it's on-prem, in the cloud, whatever it is, that allows for this external chat, or maybe I want to lock it down to certain domains, things like that. So you've got this wide world of possibilities to kind of go out and just be able to interact, in your case, with your clients, right? You know, like you're helping them deploy Skype for Business and you're a Skype for Business customer. So why not just have the two of you talk through Skype for Business? That makes sense.
Yep. Exactly. And one thing to be aware of if you do stand up an Office 365 tenant is this is actually enabled by default. So anytime you go stand up Office 365, you are automatically going to be allowed to communicate with any other external user on Skype for Business, as well as any other user on the Skype for Consumer. So that is set up open by default. If you're in a situation where you want to limit that, that is one thing you're going to want to probably go in and turn off right away. Again, that is something that you want to block, something that you don't want users to be allowed to do.
Yeah, you've got to put the planning in and kind of think about it and understand your business need and why you're rolling these services out. But you do have the capabilities. Capabilities are there. They're built into the platform. So one of the things, you know, I go back to is you're deploying an enterprise service that has some operational controls around it, right? So you've entitled entitled users to the service. Maybe you've blocked or allowed certain domains to chat with. So you've gone down and you've kind of taken those steps. One of the things that happens on the client side too is Skype for Business stores its conversation history inside of Exchange. So you do have a chat log and all the other things that go in there. So if you do things like litigation holds or, you know, retention holds against mailboxes, things like that, you're also retaining Skype for Business history, inclusive of the conversations that your users are potentially having with Skype consumer folks. So if your organization was using free chat services in the past, so, you know, maybe your salespeople could talk to their customers or things like that, you can bring all that information back within kind of your four walls, contain it, understand it, and continue to be able to provide your users kind of the services they need to go forth and do their jobs.
Yeah. And tying into that even more, like you said, some of these companies are in situations too where they have to have certain compliance. They have to comply with certain regulations, certain policies in terms of being able to record everything, being able to log everything. Skype for Business also has that option, just a single click, where if you do have some of those compliance requirements, you can actually turn off any feature that could, they call it a non-archived feature. So anything that's generated, a certain recording, a certain chat transcript, if there's certain features that can't be archived within Skype for Business, with a single click, you can just turn those off so that those features are disabled within your Skype for Business tenant or for that user that has to comply to those certain regulations.
Yeah, it's nice for those you want to have your cake and eat it too scenarios.
Yep. Absolutely. So I think that kind of covers from a basic level. If you have Skype for Business, you get it stood up, you get logged in. Going on from there, there's some other functionality, some other features that you can turn on that can get enabled within your tenant too, based on some of the licensing. And then there's also meetings that are included. We'll probably dive into those a little bit later here because there's a lot of details around meetings.
And with some of that kind of comes boundaries and limits and things like that. So let's talk, you know, a little bit about some of the calling and kind of call routing and things like that that happen. Before we do that, you want to go ahead and let's have a word from BitWizards?
Sounds good.
You love technology, so do we. You're an experienced IT pro. We respect that. You're a problem solver. We've got clients. You need a TAM. We've got a beach. You love Azure. We love Azure. At BitWizards, we've won Florida Trend Magazine's Best Companies to Work For 8 years running and have been a Microsoft Gold Partner since 2001. I don't know about you, but it sounds to me like we were meant for each other. Go to bitwizards.com/cloudsmith to introduce yourself.
And we're back. So let's jump into some of this voice stuff, calling, PBX, routing, call queues, all of that type of stuff.
Yeah. So I think it's helpful to kind of start before we get into PBX. What are the things I can do with voice without a PBX? You know, whether it's a cloud PBX or my own, things like that. Do I have any options there?
So you do. Without cloud PBX, like we already mentioned, you can do the chat, but you can also do kind of, I would call it, in-house calling, or not even necessarily in-house, but Skype for Business to Skype for Business calling.
Yeah, effectively voice over IP, but I don't have a phone number, right? Everything's going over the internet and I'm just doing client to client.
Exactly. I don't have an extension. The extension is kind of that SIP address. So it is. It's, I can go into my Skype for Business. I can pick Scott. I can pick somebody else within my organization. I can pick somebody externally. Quick, do a call with them over the computer. So essentially a soft phone, like you said, VoIP. Do some of that voice calling. So it makes it really easy. Now I don't have to have desk phones. I don't have to worry about people working from Starbucks or remotely. Wherever they go, I can just quickly click their name, make a voice call, chat with them over Skype for Business.
Perfect. I can also do audio conferencing without a PBX, right? So I can just assign that entitlement and kind of be up and running.
Yep. That one is there. Again, the meetings. If you want to do meet with a couple people, do some of the screen sharing. If you want to, like you said, have a meeting, throw a handful of people in a call.
Yeah, I want to have a meeting that's more than just Skype to Skype. I want to have a meeting where people can potentially dial in. So kind of my mobile workers, or if I'm working with external parties and hey, VoIP's not going to cut it, now I can have a dial-in associated. So it's kind of that WebEx or structured audio conference, right? That's going to come with your meeting.
Right. The only, and this is where it gets, the licensing I've found with Skype for Business is probably the most confusing of all of them, because that gets into now you can dial in from Skype for Business. But if you want to dial in, like with WebEx, everybody knows with WebEx, I can pick to use my computer for audio, or I can pick to dial into a phone number if I'm on the road, want to dial in from my cell phone, whatever it may be. That then gets into this PSTN conferencing licensing, and that is not necessarily included with all of the Skype for Business plans.
Yeah, licensing is its own kind of hairball. But I think it's important to kind of call out the differences between them, because as we talk to kind of features and limitations of PSTN, something to keep in mind for like audio conferencing or ACP is that's available in a ton of countries. You're not really asking Microsoft to be a phone company for you at that point, because you don't have a phone number associated with you, just with your conference. So I think you've got, you know, on the order of like local numbers and dial-ins in 130 countries, things like that. Versus when we start to talk about PSTN, you're kind of limited to, for the most part, continental US today, right? That's where Microsoft is kind of doing the phone company thing. And they're starting to do it in other regions, but kind of light touch and not as much as they do it in the US. So yeah, so that's audio conferencing and kind of really quick turnkey service. Like you mentioned, there's a licensing component, could be some additional cost associated with that if you do it as an add-in, things like that. So now if we step up and we go to kind of a license level or an add-in that gives us Cloud PBX, now we can do things like PSTN calling. So real quick, we should probably give an overview of what Cloud PBX is.
Right. So Cloud PBX, and again, this gets into the bizarre licensing. Anytime you have a list of dependencies you need for various licenses, it just gets confusing. So Cloud PBX doesn't actually include the PSTN calling. It is a prerequisite for cloud or the PSTN calling. And what Cloud PBX does is it gives you a lot of those traditional PBX features that you would maybe see if you had an on-premises PBX. Things like call hold, call histories, delegation, call on behalf of. You can do transfers. So transferring a call from a PC to a phone to a mobile device or tablet. It gives you some of the caller ID, call waiting, call forwarding, even device switching. So if you want to switch from a headset to a speakerphone, switch it to another device, music on hold. So a lot of those traditional phone system type features are what's included in Cloud PBX. And this is a requirement for going to that PSTN calling voice. So Cloud PBX, for instance, is included in the E5. It's an add-on for E1 and E3 plans. And then once you have that, there's another, then you can pile on top of that this PSTN calling, where you can actually get a license for unlimited domestic minutes. You can use domestic and international. And then that's what allows you to actually stack on top of that Cloud PBX the actual phone number. So now I have, for me, I'm in Jacksonville. Our area code is 904. Now I can have a 904 number that's associated with my Skype for Business. And I can actually call Skype for Business using a traditional phone number, a traditional phone, all of that. So while they're Cloud PBX and PSTN calling are really tightly tied together, they are two different things when you get into Skype for Business.
Well, yeah, it's this whole kind of layered thing, right? So as we start to peel back the onion, so you need PBX to do these things. You might not necessarily use PBX to its full capabilities, but it is required to get you into things like PSTN calling. You mentioned domestic. So domestic is one license, adding international is another license. So it's very additive in kind of how it goes up and what happens once it's there. I think some of the cool things about PSTN are once you have deployed that, it is full-blown SIP at that point. So you can start to do those things, like you said, do voice transfer. So if you have a supported device at your desk, so maybe you've got a Polycom phone that does VoIP, you can go ahead and sign into your Skype for Business account on that Polycom phone, and then you can go and transfer back and forth between your computer, your mobile phone, that device, and then have everything that comes with it. So, your voice recordings and, hey, your busy signals and all that kind of stuff. You can also do some other things with PBX, right? So there's call queuing and auto attendance. So some of that's a little bit newer, but it is out there, and Microsoft has been kind of growing and evolving that service.
Yeah, and those, again, are two very nice features. I know people have been asking for them for a while, and I haven't had a ton of time to play with them yet. Again, it's just me and my company, me and I have one other lady that works for me part-time. But when it's just me, the call queuing auto attendant, it doesn't serve a ton of purpose for if you're a business of one or two people. I do it a little bit with like business hours. So if it's during business hours and somebody happens to call my phone number, it goes straight to me. If it's outside of business hours, maybe they get that auto attendant, have an option to leave a voicemail. The call queuing, again, like you said, relatively new, but a lot of configuration options there. It's something to be aware of, something to go in and play with before you, especially if you're a small business, if you're 10, 20, 25 people, if you want a lot of advanced phone options, before you go out and look at like some full-blown phone systems to install in your office, go look at Skype for Business, this Cloud PBX, the call routing, the auto attendant. You may be able to actually bundle everything together in Office 365 and get a really functional phone system, essentially all hosted in Office 365 in the cloud for your business.
Yeah, you can certainly, I mean, there's a couple, there's a bunch of providers that do kind of the unified communications as a service space, so that UCaaS space. But if you think about holistically how your environment's set up, if you've already deployed Skype to your desktop, and you have access to this licensing and you just haven't deployed the feature, you know, potentially you're just leaving money on the table, right? That's kind of like your investment in that service that you're leaving behind. Or if you think about opportunity cost of having to, like you said, go down the path of picking somebody who has a PBX and how do I get my identity so my users can sign in and what's my per user cost, per device cost, all those kinds of things. Even just from a pure TCO or an opportunity cost, you'll definitely want to consider Skype if it's out there and you're in this ecosystem. It doesn't cover everything, right? So where ACP does those 130 countries, PSTN calling doesn't cover everything. It's kind of like other Microsoft services. So yes, it has auto attendant, right? Where I can go in and set up those phone numbers and do, you know, press one for blah, press two for the press three. It's auto attendant light. It does do call queuing. It might not have all the features of call queuing you want, but if all you need is 80%, then, you know, it probably does provide that 80%. It's getting really close really fast, you know, especially with kind of the monthly cadence they've been on.
Yep, definitely. And like you said, you tie some of that in too, and the devices. I actually do have one of those Polycom phones sitting on my desk. It's like having a physical landline phone, only it's just tied to Skype for Business. It's tied to my phone number. And it's not limited to just making phone calls over the phone number. I have some external clients that actually I'm federated with. Some of them even host Skype for Business internally. I can call them just via their normal Skype for Business, even though they don't have PSTN calling. It works just like the Skype for Business client, only it's a physical phone sitting on my desk. Super, I love it. If I want to reboot my computer, I can still be on a phone call.
So that makes for a good segue, right? Like, let's talk a little bit about devices and kind of what's available. So you have Skype for Business on the desktop side, right? So that's deployed as part of Office on Windows. You can also do Macs, right? There is a Skype for Business client for Mac, kind of, sort of, maybe. depending on what's going on.
They're working on it. It's getting better. I can definitely say it's better than it was 6 months ago. It's there. It works most of the time.
And we'll kind of leave that at that. There's also mobile devices, right? So there are Skype for Business clients available for iOS and Android. And was there a Windows 10 mobile one? I can't remember for the dead platform, but they are out there for iOS and Android. You know, all these devices, so whether it's, you know, your PC, it's going to support things like GPOs for configuration or, you know, registry keys, all that good kind of stuff. If you're on a mobile device, all the iOS and Android applications for Skype have adopted Intune's SDKs, so they can be protected by Intune, by MAM, all those kind of things. So you have just kind of smorgasbord of stuff sitting in front of you when you say, hey, can I really do my job anytime, anywhere, any place when it comes to Skype and calling? You know, like 99.9% of the time, the answer is going to be, heck yeah.
Yeah. And I love, so iOS, I'm an iOS. I don't know where this is at on Android. I think it's close to the same experience, but they've tied into some of even the voice APIs and functionality that Apple provides in iOS. So I get calls to my PSTN number when it rings on my mobile device, it actually shows up just like a normal incoming call on my iOS device, only it says Skype for Business underneath the phone call. If I go into my missed calls, I actually see Skype for Business calls intermingled with my normal calls. So it's a really nice experience being able to see the missed calls in there, being able to return calls. It's very tightly tied in with just the normal voice phone features in iOS devices.
Yeah. So CallKit should do this. I think it does the same kind of things on Android. I haven't pulled out my Android testing device in a while, but maybe I can do that. Let's talk a little bit about kind of some of the boundaries and limits and other consideration things, and we can kind of wrap up because we're coming up on time here. So, you know, for calling, when you compare it to some other services, like say you do WebEx today, you might have limitations in the number of people that are available in some of those kind of structured meetings. So in things like Skype for Business, you have a maximum of 250 people in a meeting, maximum 25 people in team calls, and that's inclusive of all the plans that are out there. So you can't go buy like an eSKU and get more people in a meeting, but 250 is a lot more than, you know, like the 50 that WebEx does, things like that. You can also transfer files through. So if you're uploading meeting content, like, hey, I'm not just sharing my screen, but I'm sharing a Word document or a PowerPoint presentation, things like that, you can go ahead and upload files, have those available with the meeting. They're retained for a little while, and then just kind of permanently deleted afterwards, you know, depending on what kind of meeting you were in. One of the really cool features that's available in Skype for Business Online, which I don't know if everybody's turned on, is Skype Meeting Broadcast. So these are great for town halls or kind of like those very much like one person's going to talk and everybody's going to listen types of meetings, where you can have up to 10,000 people supported in a single meeting. So it's literally a checkbox to go ahead and deploy that feature, or a little bit of PowerShell, depending on how you want to do it. And you can have people go in, they can create a broadcast meeting. Everybody else joins, you know, your presenters join via their Skype client. Everybody else is just a web client or their Lite client, and they're just up and running. And instantaneously, you have 10,000 people just, you know, being able to listen in and at least consume the content coming out of those presentations.
Yeah, it's a nice feature if you want to do some hosting, unless you're on a Mac. You can't host Skype for Meeting broadcasts on the Mac client yet.
Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, I know. Time to go get my Windows box. Yeah. Anyways, but it is. It's, if you're, again, paying for Office 365 and you want to do a WebEx, go look at that. Don't go spend $100 a month on WebEx. If you can do it with those features that are already included in your Office 365 licensing that you're paying for,
go take a look at what you got. I think that's kind of the theme today.
Yep. And there's some other requirements, some other limitations too around how long you can access content after meetings. We'll try to throw a bunch of this in the show notes, or maybe we could probably do a whole episode sometime just on diving into more details around meetings.
Yeah, well, I think people could let us know. So certainly go out, leave us comments, hit us up on the website. And, you know, until then, we'll talk next week, Ben.
All right, sounds good. Thanks a lot, Scott. We'll talk to you again next week. If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.